From Greenville, South Carolina, we present Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, preaching Christ in all his fullness.
We're delighted that you've joined us for another broadcast of Let the Bible Speak, featuring the recorded messages of Dr. Alan Cairns, Minister Emeritus of Faith Free Presbyterian Church in Greenville, South Carolina. On today's program, Dr. Cairns continues a series of messages on the 8th chapter of the book of Romans. The text for this, the 9th in the series, is verse 14. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. In introducing this message, Dr. Cairns first explains the meaning of being led by the Spirit of God. This is a reference to what Paul taught in the previous verse about mortifying the deeds of the body. It reminds us that in helping believers to live holy lives, the Spirit leads them to heaven. This desire after holiness is an indisputable proof of being a true child of God. In just a few minutes, Dr. Cairns will bring the opening portion of a message called The Sons of God Identified. First, please listen to this devotional thought taken from C.H. Spurgeon's collection called Morning and Evening. This morning's text comes from Ecclesiastes chapter 7 and verse 8. Better is the end of a thing than the beginning thereof. Look at David's Lord and Master. See his beginning. He was despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. Would you see the end? He sits at his father's right hand, expecting until his enemies be made his footstool. As he is, so are we also in this world. You must bear the cross, or you shall never wear the crown. You must wade through the mire, or you shall never walk the golden pavement. Cheer up, then, poor Christian. Better is the end of a thing than the beginning thereof. See that creeping worm, how contemptible in its appearance. It is the beginning of a thing. Mark that insect with gorgeous wings, playing in the sunbeams, sipping at the flower bells, full of happiness and life. That is the end thereof. That caterpillar is yourself, until you are wrapped up in the chrysalis of death. But when Christ shall appear, you shall be like him, for you shall see him as he is. Be content to be like him, a worm and no man, that like him you may be satisfied when you wake up in his likeness. That rough-looking diamond is put upon the wheel of the lapidary. He cuts it on all sides. It loses much, much that seemed costly to itself. The king is crowned. The diadem is put upon the monarch's head with trumpet's joyful sound. A glittering ray flashes from that coronet, and it beams from that very diamond which was just now so sorely vexed by the lapidary. You may venture to compare yourself to such a diamond, for you are one of God's people. And this is the time of the cutting process. Let faith and patience have their perfect work, for in the day when the crown shall be set upon the head of the King, eternal, immortal, invisible, one ray of glory shall stream from you. They shall be mine, saith the Lord, in the day when I make up my jewels. Better is the end of a thing than the beginning thereof.
The day is set, the time is come, the witnesses arrive. The course is marked, the men prepared, all ways are set aside. Positions are assumed and taken, energies now reawaken. With joy, I'll
I did all for his great cause. I will not live for selfish gain or die for man's applause. My Savior, love, my passion, King, is every blessed word I'll cling. To him is every wish I'll bring till Jesus calls me home. With joy, I'll fix my eyes on Jesus' face, the one who saved me by his matchless grace. I have the great provision, the Lord is all I need. He has already won the victory. From sin I have been free. Oh Lord, I must be faithful in every word and in deed. Oh yes, I'll run this race with patience. I'll run this race with joy. I'll fix my eyes on Jesus' face.
As you hear in the introduction to these broadcasts, Let the Bible Speak seeks to present Christ in all his fullness. Are you seeking to present the gospel of Jesus Christ to some loved one, some neighbor, or someone with whom you work? We're pleased to offer you a booklet by Dr. Alan Cairns that is an excellent evangelistic tool. It's entitled, The Gospel of Salvation, Full, Free, and Final. In this little book, Dr. Cairns finds a balance between those who admire the message but keep it to themselves and those who, in their haste to present the gospel, do not take time to examine its true content and therefore never really present it in its beauty and fullness. Dr. Cairns understands the gospel as it is presented by Christ to be the fullness of God, and he presents it freely to all who will believe. Furthermore, he explains that the salvation declared in the gospel, once received and experienced, is final. The believer is kept by the power of God, and nothing can separate him from the love of God. For a free copy of The Gospel of Salvation, just contact us. You may write Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. If you wish, you may email your request to ltbs@freepres.org. That's ltbs@freepres.org. Ask for The Gospel of Salvation, Full, Free, and Final by Alan Cairns.
Thank you. Now we turn back to Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8, verse 1 through 14. There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus hath made me free from the law of sin and death. For what the law could not do, in that it was weak through the flesh, God sending His own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh and for sin, condemned sin in the flesh, that the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh, but they that are after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Because the carnal mind is enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. So then they that are in the flesh cannot please God. But ye are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if so be that the Spirit of God dwell in you. Now if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. And if Christ be in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the Spirit is life because of righteousness. But if the Spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, he that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies by his Spirit that dwelleth in you. Therefore, brethren, we are debtors not to the flesh to live after the flesh. For if ye live after the flesh, ye shall die. But if ye through the Spirit do mortify the deeds of the body, ye shall live. Now we come to the words of our text for this evening, verse 14. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. People usually quote this text with reference to Christians having the privilege of knowing divine guidance in their lives. The text is usually understood to say that if you're among the sons of God, then you have the guarantee that the Holy Spirit of God will lead you, the subject of divine guidance. Now, I'm fully aware that that's a very important subject, fully aware that it's a very intimate subject in the life of every believer, that it's something that exercises the mind of every Christian sooner or later. It's usually sooner than later. However, in its context, and I keep having to say this, that context to a text is all important. Some people like to jump through the Bible, take out words here and there, and just give little or no recognition to the setting in which God places it. If you take your own words out of context and had them pressed against you, you could end up guilty of just about any crime under the sun and be put away for it. So, in its context, this text is not speaking on the general subject of divine guidance at all. It is something much, much more specific than that. Follow carefully and you'll see how Paul arrives at this position. He has been speaking about mortifying the deeds of the body. His great argument has been that as justified believers in Christ, We are debtors not to the flesh to live after the flesh, but he's saying by implication here, we are debtors to grace and to God. And for this reason, because we are debtors to God and his grace, we should mortify the deeds of the body. And now he goes on to say the words of our text. For, and I want you to notice the opening word of verse 14. It's connecting what is in this verse directly with what goes immediately before it. Verse 13, if ye through the Spirit do mortify the deeds of the body, ye shall live. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. Notice the connection. What Paul is saying in effect is that this leading of the Spirit of God is equivalent to that phrase, through the Spirit, mortifying the deeds of the body. In other words, these are two things that he's bringing now together. He's saying in verse 13, mortify through the Spirit the deeds of the body, and you'll live. Now the emphasis there is upon living, eternal life. Now how do you know this? Because, and he's going to go on to talk about those who possess eternal life, namely the sons of God. But how do you know you're the sons of God? You're being led by the Spirit of God, not just generally, but particularly in this matter of mortifying the deeds of the body. This mortification of the deeds of the body by the energy of the Holy Spirit is basically equivalent. At least I should say the energy that enables you to mortify is basically the equivalent to this new word, this leading of the Spirit of God. You see, Paul is making here a very, very important point. He's establishing the truth that the Holy Ghost leads his people to holiness and to heaven. Never separate those two things. Never separate them. The Holy Spirit leads his people to holiness and to heaven. As I pointed out, dealing with the verses that go immediately before this, when God saves a person and puts him on the way to glory, the Scripture calls it the highway of holiness. That's the way to glory. That's the way that the Savior spoke of in Matthew chapter 7, when he spoke of that straight gate and that narrow way that leads to heaven. It's the highway of holiness. So the Holy Spirit leads his people to holiness and to heaven. And those people, and only those people, whom he leads to holiness, are assured that they are the sons of God, whom he will undoubtedly lead to heaven. Now here then is the teaching of the text. By leading his people to holiness, the Holy Ghost gives them indisputable proof that they are truly the sons of God. That's what Paul is saying. By leading his people to mortify the deeds of the body, by leading them in holiness, the Holy Spirit gives them indisputable proof that they are the sons of God. So I want us tonight to look at this text. The focus will be simply on the sons of God, and especially the sons of God identified in this particular way. Let me start at the beginning, and I will have three things basically to say. As you may have guessed before now, that doesn't prove anything. There may be 33 things under those, but three very simple basic steps. First of all, that the Holy Ghost does lead his people to holiness. In other words, what Paul is saying here is that sanctification is advanced in the life of a Christian by the power of the Holy Ghost. Here he's emphasizing something that he has been preaching already. The whole second half of Romans chapter 7 is about this very thing. We tend, and how often preachers reinforce this false idea, we tend to make people believe that salvation is all by trusting Christ. Salvation is all by grace through faith. And it's almost like you say to people, now you're saved, you're all on your own. It's up to you. I remember years ago a young fellow coming to me in deep distress, things that are way, way wrong in his life. He says, I've tried everything and gone everywhere. The best advice you could get from one of the best, quotes, the best known, the biggest name or whatever, of Christian counselors, was just that you've got to make up your mind and do this. He says, I can't, I'm beaten. Look at the life I've lived. Look where I'm coming out of. And it's got me whipped. Well, you just got to make up your mind and do it. Now, don't misunderstand me. I do not believe in the Roman Catholic doctrine of quietism. I do not believe that a Christian just sits like a bump on a log and God does it all for him. That there's no activity. And this will become clear as we go along. That God does it all and there's no activity on the part of the Christian in sanctification. You will find that in Protestant and biblical theology, there are very clear categories. You can distinguish them. You must never segregate them one from another. But in some of them, God is the only actor. For example, in regeneration, you contribute nothing. Not the exercise of faith, not the exercise of repentance, not a tear, not a movement of a muscle. You contribute nothing to the act of regeneration. Regeneration is the act of a sovereign God by his Holy Spirit, whereby at his command and by his immediate energy, a dead soul is brought to life, the first evidence of which is faith and repentance. So there are actions in salvation like regeneration, in which the only actor is God. In other parts of the whole scheme, there is also the cooperating action of the human will. When God brings you into Christ, makes you a new creature in Christ, and he begins to sanctify you, you get commands as to what you are to do and how you are to do it. In other words, there is an activity that is human here. There is the cooperation of the redeemed spirit with the Holy Spirit. There is the cooperation of the will of the regenerate man with the will of God by the Spirit of God. So I'm not for a moment preaching quietism, that you simply sit back and do nothing, and somehow, some way, God will make you holy. An awful lot of people make that mistake. Lord, take this desire away from me. Lord, let me never feel this again. Sometimes people are struggling with particular sins, and the very desire they're asking the Lord to take away from them may be a desire that's fundamental to human nature. It's not the way to pray. If this is in its proper place, the legitimate desire, Lord, give me, and we'll go on to show how the Lord does this, Lord, give me by thy Spirit such a working of grace, a direction of my heart and mind and will, that thou wilt regulate these things in my life, and where I'm dealing with things that are sinful, that you'll enable me to mortify those things. Put them away and make no provision for the flesh.
You've been listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We hope that you've enjoyed and benefited from today's program. We're here as your servants for Christ's sake. If we can be of any further help to you in the things of God, we invite you to contact us. If you would like to receive our booklet, A New Beginning, a booklet that sets forth God's way of salvation in clear, concise, and biblical ways, you may have it free of charge, simply for the asking. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. You may email us at info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. Also, we invite you to visit our website at www.faithfpc.org. If you would be interested in considering the establishment of a Free Presbyterian Church in your area, by all means, let us know. On behalf of Dr. Alan Cairns, this is Charles Kelch saying thank you for listening and inviting you to join us Monday through Friday at this same time as we Let the Bible Speak.